comes at you. Obedience, man, that's a thing to really grab a hold of. Lord, what would you have me to do? Is there anything in my life that you don't like? Any person, any object in my life that you don't like that I need to dispose of? I want to be obedient. I want to be an obedient child of God. Man, all we got to do is listen. You see what Caleb said? I wholly, he kept reminding Joshua, I followed the Lord wholly, completely. I didn't leave nothing out. I gave God exactly what he wanted and not what I thought he wanted. A lot of people are falling into the trap of giving God what they feel like he wants or what they think he wants because they still enjoy it. That's what's happening to guys in Christian rap and Christian hip hop. I was one of them. I rapped. I came into this thing rapping for Jesus, sharing my testimony, thinking that it was going to help somebody. But I grew up listening to Tupac and Biggie Smalls and Bone Thugs and Harmony. And then I just transferred over here into the church world and started rapping. But then as I grew and as I learned and as I kept pushing forward, I found out that was my sacrifice, but it wasn't obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. It's a lot of stuff we try to offer to God. And here, Lord, take this. Lord said, I don't want that. I don't want that. You keep that. And you see, I was talking to somebody the other day, talking about preachers looking for a rapper to come to the church and minister to the youth. I understand why they're doing that. They're trying to use something that's familiar to the kids to get them engaged and to reach them. But all you're doing is using what they're already used to try and talk about Jesus. I mean, Kanye West did a song called Jesus Walks. What separates him from Lecrae or any other Christian rapper? Nothing. It's stupid. It's not the obedience that God requires. And I put it all away. I had the studio. I had the CDs. I had the contacts and the beats. I had beats that I stopped using because once I learned that God wasn't interested in what I thought he wanted, he'll tell you what he wants specifically for you, tell you the specific instructions for you, and all you got to do is do it. See, he might not tell you the same thing that he'll tell me. It's personal to you. That's why you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's a personal relationship with the person who has likes, who has dislikes. If Jesus were coming to your house tomorrow night, he would want a certain type of dinner. You would want to know what makes him comfortable and what environment is conducive for him to stay. Certain magazines and pictures on the wall and the music that you would play. You would want to know, man, I don't want him to be put off by this environment. That's what we're doing. We're creating an environment for Jesus to dwell. That environment is your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. All God wants from you is you. If he can get you, he has everything he needs to remake you and remold you again to be acceptable unto him. But we try to bring in our little, well, I've been doing this all my life. You know, I grew up singing. I grew up playing the guitar. Well, if God wants you to put that guitar down as an act of obedience, guess what you should be doing? Putting the guitar down. You should be putting the microphone down. It's not about what you enjoy and what you like. It's about obedience before the living God. Man, we gotta get this because time is short and we don't have a lot of time. But Caleb gives us a great example of somebody who stayed faithful to God. And he was rewarded because of his faithfulness. And he said, man, I'm just as strong. 85. If the Lord tarries, I'll be 32 in about 2.5 weeks. If the Lord tarries where I can see 85, I want to be able to say what Caleb said. Say, man, I can still do battle, man. I can still fight. Let's go. Where the devil's at? I'm devil hunting. I'm Rashid, the dragon slayer, the demon slayer. Let's do this because I'm just as strong in the Lord. That's what this is all about. Where did Jesus get his strength from? Where did Jesus get his strength? Let's look at that for a moment. Look at Luke chapter 22. Jesus was strong. But how? What made Jesus strong? He was God in the flesh. He was the God-man, the Son of God. But the scripture gives us some insight to what made him strong. Because he was a man, although he was God, he had moments of weakness. He had times where he would be weak and he had to be strengthened. Look at Luke 22. And we'll start at verse 39. Luke 22, 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." So he told them what to pray about. See that? You see how God will give you a specific instruction. He'll tell you exactly what to do, and all you have to do is obey. "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." As he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. So the ministry of angels provides strength. The ministry of angels, we see here, an angel appeared from heaven and strengthening Jesus. He was weak and being in agony, verse 44, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." The Lord knows where we fall short. It's not that we desire to sin necessarily. It's the temptation to sin. All the devil does around the clock is sets traps. He sets traps. You got men that have committed adultery on their wives. What happened to Tiger Woods committing adultery on his wife with all those whores and the Playboy bunnies? What happened to him? The devil set a trap. He knew what his lust was, and he ensnared him. I was telling somebody the other day, if you saw a bear trap, which is a pretty big trap, if you saw a bear trap and it had a stack of money on it, would you grab the money? Would you have the gall to attempt to grab the money off of the bear trap? Don't answer. Don't embarrass yourself. But I would not try to grab money, I don't care how much money it was, off of a bear trap. You get caught in a bear trap, and there's no getting out of that. Now, a mice trap, you best believe I'm going to grab me a couple of dollars off of a mice trap. Because all I got to do is just pull that back off of my hand. Hey, little pain, no big deal. But a bear trap, man, adultery, lust, fornication, some sins will do you in. Some sins will, you'll get some penalties. You know, you get caught stealing. They'll give you probation and you got to do community service. But if you go out and murder somebody or you commit some type of filthy, lustful act, man, they throwing the book at people right now. Life, those two lesbians who beat that 3-year-old girl and with a hanger because she peed on the floor. They beat her to death, put her on ice and then doused her with bleach. I watched the video the other day. The judge looked at him and said, life, no parole, death row. You'll die in prison. Some penalties because of certain sins are weightier than others. It doesn't mean that there are like what people call black lies and white lies and yellow lies. They're all big fat lies. But the penalty for certain sins are greater than others. So he's telling them about temptation and praying their way out. But the main point of this particular text is the fact that that angel came and provided strength to the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels, the ministry of angels, provide strength. The Bible talks about how certain children, little children, have angels that protect them. Man, we don't need the bad angels. We're at war with the bad angels. We need some support from the good angels. There are good angels and there are bad angels. There are the angels that worship before God and the fallen angels that worship before Satan. No, everybody talks about the good angels and the angels that came and ministered to Jesus, but everybody wants to ignore the bad angels. No, we got to take the whole role. In Matthew 4, where Jesus was tempted by Satan and he was weak, but he passed the test because he stuck with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He passed the test by not giving in and becoming a Satan worshiper, a devil worshiper. And the Bible says when Satan left, the angels came and ministered to him. He had been weak from fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil wanted to trap him in his weakness. So that gives you insight to when the devil tries to get the best of you, is when you're at your weakest moment. That's why you have dreams and you're paralyzed in your sleep and you can't move. The devil comes. See, he can't face you head on. He's a coward spirit. He's a coward by nature. He can't come at you straight and tell you to your face what he really wants you to know. He's always somewhere like a snake, slithering, slicking, trying to undermine you and trying to take you out. He's a slick creature. So angels minister strength to Jesus. And we also see other scriptures that show they minister strength. That's the purpose of angels. They are God's messengers, God's ministers, to minister to those who have inherited salvation. It's in the book of Hebrews. His ministers are like flames of fire. The angels minister to the people of God, those who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repented of their sins, forsaken everything to follow Jesus. You have angels that can be dispatched on your behalf to war for you, to fight for you. That's why we need to appropriate what God has made available to us. See, it's not enough for Jesus to have died on the cross. You must go to the cross and die with him. Die to your will, die to your thoughts, die to your past, die to the people who hurt you and you don't want to forgive them because of whatever your reasons are. You got to die to all that. The Bible says Jesus was put in a tomb for 3 days. That's the waters of baptism, where you go down in that water and you're buried so your past and your sins can be washed away. And you're raised to new life, having received the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus was resurrected from the grave by the Holy Spirit. The same experience of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is what you must go through. A lot of people say they believe it. It's not enough to believe it. You must do it. You must go to the cross. You must go to that grave. And you must believe God to raise you up by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a true born-again person that goes through that process. Everybody that says, oh, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the gospel. Have you gone through the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is something you experience. It's not just something you believe. And true faith is demonstrated by works. In the book of James, the Bible says faith without works is dead. It's like your body without a spirit. It's dead. It's dead weight. But Jesus got his strength through service to the people. He served the people. The Bible says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. He came to be the waiter. He didn't come to be waited on. And it's strength that comes when you are the person washing people's feet and serving the community. You got a lot of people getting into volunteering now because, hey, man, I want to give. I want to pour out. I want to be a support to the community. And there's different motives for why people do it. But at the end of the day, it's about service, man. It's not just about looking glamorous and high and mighty. Jesus was strengthened when he prayed. So are we. We're strengthened when we pray, man. When we pray, we receive strength. That's why we pray Monday through Saturday, so that we can be empowered by prayer and touching God. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. I just told you it's about servant. It's about servanthood, man. He took on the form of bondservant. This was God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. Humbled himself down, made himself of no reputation, didn't need to be seen, didn't need to be acknowledged, didn't need it. He didn't need recognition. Verse 8 says, or verse 7, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus humbled himself and God exalted him. He sits in the highest place in heaven. So there's spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, right? But Jesus Christ sits in the highest seat in heaven. So who has more power? Who should I be yoked up with? Who should I be teamed up with? Who should I be finding what they want and how to please them? Jesus Christ, confessing that he is Lord, bowing the knee and giving the honor that's due to his name as the Son of God. Humility. Humility gives you strength. Humbling yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he, God, will exalt you in due time. That's how you're strengthened. That's how you receive might. It's through humbling yourself down, not needing to be noticed, not needing to be appreciated. Some people just want to be appreciated. Obey the Lord. Know the Lord appreciates you. He sees what you're doing, and that's all that matters. So we see Jesus received strength from angels. He received strength from prayer and serving the people. And he received strength from humbling himself, even to the point of death, death on the cross. Now, the Bible says you put on that same mind that he has. So put the mind of Christ on, that same mind that he walked in. You have that same mind. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Or 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12. And look at verse 10. We're talking about the source of strength that we need. This is Paul writing here. He says in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Well, hold on. Let me go back. Go back to verse 7. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above the measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in my flesh was given to me as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, God's strength, is made perfect in weakness. That's a revelation right there by itself. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this ain't about being bold. This ain't about talking loud. This ain't about having all the answers. This ain't about being a powerful man of God, a powerful woman of God. This thing is about humbling yourself down. This thing is about making yourself of no reputation and being weak in spirit, poor in spirit, that God might lift you up, that God might exalt you in his timing. You got people out there on the street preaching at folks, trying to be bold, trying to tell people the weight of heaven. You're going to hell and casting people into hell. And that ain't it, man. That's not it. This thing is a lowly road of servanthood. It's humbling yourself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It's going to the cross. Jesus was crucified, put in that tomb for 3 days, but he was resurrected in glory. That's what this thing is about. The mystery of godliness and the mystery behind this is the fact that the kingdom of God runs in opposites. The world says you want to be strong, go to the gym, go get your education, go and learn and go become an astute person. God says, go somewhere and shut up, sit down, get your Bible, learn what I want you to know, and do what I tell you to do. It's the simplicity of life. It's not even hard. Obedience. Humbling yourself down. Is anything wrong with going to the gym, getting swole? Nah, man. Don't worship it. Is anything wrong with getting an education? Absolutely not. I got a college degree. I should go back and get another one. But I don't worship education. I don't worship knowledge. I'm not a Gnostic somewhere trying to get 10,000 degrees. And that's where my value is. That's what makes me worth something, is because I know more than you. You can pick it up when you talk to people. The pride of knowing more than you do. You should be able to go to the hood and go to where people are downtrodden and condescend to men of low estate. The Bible says you should be able to condescend, lower yourself to men who are in different positions in life. You got people, they can't talk to people that are poor or people that are in the slums because they're too high and mighty. Jesus, he could talk and interact with anybody, man, the rich and poor alike. There was no distinction. Because I'm debasing myself, I'm humbling myself, I'm chastening my soul through fasting, and therefore, I can interact with those that are in different positions in life. This is the mystery. When I am weak, then I am strong, because I have no power of my own. It's the Lord's strength that I walk in. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's my admonition. That's my encouragement. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Hebrews 11, the scripture talks about those who what the scripture, we call it the hall of faith. You know, like the hall of fame, the hall of faith. People like Moses and Abraham and all the patriarchs of the Old Testament, David and Samson and Gideon. And he talks about these men and women who were great people of God. And it says, out of weakness, they were made strong. Out of weakness. Daniel in the lion's den in a place of defeat, and the angel came and opened that and rescued him out of the lion's den. This thing ain't about being bold, man. This is not. Now, let me be clear. It's not about being weak minded, physically weak. It's not about being weak in faith. You got to be a strong person and have a strong will to commit yourself and dedicate yourself to doing things. But this is about being strong in the spirit. This must be revealed by the spirit to your spirit. It's spiritual. We're warring against spiritual entities. This is all spiritual. This is about losing your life that you may gain your life. Look at Romans 15. Jesus said, unless a man hate his life in this world, he can't be my disciple. Unless a man bear his cross, he can't follow me. The cross was a sign of weakness, but the Holy Ghost raised Jesus up. Now, this is the purpose of God, of why God needs you strong, or one of the purposes of how this thing works. Look at Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong are to bear with the scruples of the weak. The infirmities of the weak, the burdens of the weak. That's what that word scruples means, the burdens. We then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So this ain't even about you, man. You being strong, you bearing a cross, it's not even about you. This is about you being strong in God's power, standing the test of time, standing against the devil's opposition for the sake of somebody else who doesn't know what you know, who doesn't have the strength that you have, so that you can bear them up. You can bear the burdens that's weighing them down. It ain't even about you. It's not even about us, man. You see, it ain't about pleasing you. That's why the end times can be clearly seen in self-love. I just want to be happy. Just love yourself. That's the mystery. No, that's the mystery of iniquity. That's the mystery of Satan. This ain't about you. It's not about you being happy. It's not about you being pleased. It's not about you being appreciated. This is about God in heaven having sent the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to restore mankind back to fellowship with him. This is about something that's heavenly. It's so much bigger than what we see down here on earth. Bear the burdens of others, man. But you got to be strong in order to do it. God needs you to be strong in order to bear the burdens and the weaknesses and the infirmities of those who don't know the gospel, those who are not saved, those who have not had their sins forgiven. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Look at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Coming back to 2 Corinthians. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. One verse. And this also we pray that you may be made complete. He's referring to those in the Corinthian church. He's saying when we are weak, you're strong. We're being sacrificed. We're suffering for your sake. Jesus said when he prayed in John chapter 17, he was praying to the Father. He said, I sanctified myself for the sake of my disciples. I separated myself. I went into the mountainous place to pray for the sake of my disciples. Everything that you do as it relates to servanthood is for the sake of someone else. And you obey God on the vertical. You're not looking for some type of glory or somebody to recognize you. And Gideon, in Judges chapter 6, we see a character named Gideon who saw himself as weak and just incapable, incompetent. And God looked at him. He said, stand up, raise up, you mighty man of valor. I'm going to raise you up to lead the people out. He saw himself as inadequate. He saw himself as incapable. And we are insufficient to accomplish the work of God in our own power. That's why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. It's in the spirit that we must be strong. Gideon had to be raised up to be strong in the spirit to destroy God's enemies. Yes, he was weak. Moses was weak. But when God got a hold of his mind, you saw what Moses accomplished. Unfortunately, he didn't finish the deal the way he needed to. But God was able to give him the might and power he needed to go ahead. Satan's mass weapon of disempowerment is guilt. Satan's mass weapon of disempowerment, how he disempowers you, how you lose strength, is guilt. That's what he uses. If he can get you guilty to become guilty because of something that you did, some sin that you committed, whether it was through a sin that you actually committed or something that you were supposed to do that you didn't do. That's called a sin of omission, where you were supposed to do something and you omitted your obedience and you didn't do it. The devil uses guilt to control people. Manipulation, domination. You know, when back in the day when you saw your friend's mom say, you were supposed to, and you're going to treat your mom like that. Emotional blackmail and manipulation. Husbands doing it to wives. Wives doing it to husbands. Parents doing it to their kids. Making their kids feel guilty. That's evil. And the devil is behind all of that. Making somebody feel just less than dirt. Now, God will bring you into guilt so that you can repent. You come into God's courtroom, you'll feel guilty. But the whole purpose is so you can admit your guilt. I've sinned against Almighty God, and I'm seeking forgiveness. I'm seeking the forgiveness of my sins through what Jesus did on the cross. Man, Jesus was hung and butchered like a criminal, and he never sinned once. The Bible says, for he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, didn't know what sin was, never participated in sin, never committed sin. Although he was tempted, he never gave in. He's qualified to be your scapegoat to release you from the bondage of sin. Sin is what the devil is using, condemnation and guilt, to bind the human race. And the truth of the gospel will release you if you'll receive it. You got to receive the gospel. The Bible says, receive the engrafted word, this word, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Your soul is bound by sin. Your mind is captivated by the devil. And the engrafted word is able to accost the lies that the devil speaks to your mind by speaking the truth. You can be forgiven. You, I'm talking to you, listening to me. You can be forgiven. The devil has been condemning you. The devil's been beating you down because of what you did. I'm telling you today, you can be released from that prison of guilt. You can be released from that prison of shame if you repent of your sins. Repent, you change your mind about the way you live, and you turn 180 degrees away from sin, away from pornography, away from all sexual sin, away from lying, stealing, away from cursing and all types of debauchery, and you turn yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cry out for mercy. The Bible says, repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is here to save us. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save it. Man, this is good news. For real, for real. So we see in Gideon that weakness that God had to fill up with his own power for Gideon to destroy God's enemy. He'll do the same for you and I, so we can stand the times that we're living in. We can go through the adversity. So this is two. I'm going to give you two main reasons why God needs you strong. God needs you strong so you can plunder the house of the strong man. In Mark chapter 3, it talks about, in order to bind the strong man and to spoil his goods, you must be stronger than him. God needs you stronger than the devil in your child. He needs you stronger than that demon in your husband, than that person or yet that friend, and that demon in you. He needs you spiritually stronger than the demon in your soul so you can get free. God wants you to destroy the works of Satan. What did Caleb say? I'm just as strong for battle. For battle, man. This is about a warfare against the demonic entities and satanic forces that are invading the human race. It's not hard to see. It's happening right in front of us. That's why God needs you strong, to destroy the works of the devil. For the Son of God was manifested, Jesus Christ, to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. So why will he endow you with the power and the strength to do the exact same thing that Jesus did? Man, this thing is about endurance. He that endures to the end, he that receives that strength training, can survive the standard, can survive the adversity that we're going through. Only the strong survive, man. We need strength from heaven. But it comes on the back of our humility, on the back of our weakness, on the back of our submission, on the back of us debasing ourselves in the flesh, humbling ourselves, not living for pleasure, and seeking obedience, that we can destroy the works of darkness. Man, hey, the other reason why God wants you strong is because you won't be saved. You won't make it. You won't make it, man. He that endures to the end will be saved. You will not have the strength to endure, the patience, the equipment to endure to the end. We're about to see the world go up in smoke, man. This thing is about to turn up so high right now. You can't even imagine how the devil is stirring up the world to become the Antichrist. He wants to rule and be the the king over the people who have given their minds and hearts to him. The Antichrist system and government that the devil is setting up. Those that won't bow the knee to it, you are going to be the enemy. They're already making Christians, you know, the homophobes and the bigots and all the name calling that's coming at the Christian just for standing up for righteousness. Man, you need some strength to stand in this, because this is not going to be for hypocrites and play actors. Only real Christians will be able to endure to the end. Will you be one of them? One thing you must be fully persuaded of to maintain your strength. One thing you must be fully persuaded of to maintain your strength. I'm not going to turn here, but write this scriptures down. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. That scripture says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. This Bible, the word of God, is infallible. This is the word of God. Every jot, every punctuation is going to come to pass in this book. Over 400 to 500 of these prophecies have already come to pass, and we're going to be living through more of them in the days to come. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word is not going to pass away. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God said it, if he spoke it, it's going to happen just the way he said it. You take God at his word, at his infallible word, you'll be all right, man. You'll be able to maintain strength. All the devil is doing is trying to make the Bible the enemy. This is his attack. This is his focal point. If I can just make the Bible, that book, those 66 books they say they believe in, that's God's word. If I can just make that book, you know, like a comic book, then I got them. No, man, everybody's not going out like that. Some people, me being one of them, this is the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Numbers 23:19. It's time to press in. It's time to press into our strength training. It's time to increase our participation in the gym. It's time to push into prayer. It's time to push into proclamation and prophecy and praise. It's time to ask, seek, and knock that the door might be open. Man, it's time to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might to stand against his enemies, to stand against the enemy of your soul, Satan and his demons and all the fallen angels, all the forces of darkness that are plaguing the human race. We got to be strong to stand in this thing. Only the strong will survive this time around. Noah survived his time. Lot barely made it out of Sodom. By the skin of his teeth, those angels got him out of Sodom before God burned up those cities. Man, we are looking at something coming ahead of us that's going to require a rare breed of person that says, you know what, I'm going to hit the weight room, I'm going to hit them spiritual weights, I'm going to build up my strength in the Lord by allowing my mind to be brought low and the mind of Christ to be exalted in me. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. Not my thoughts, but his thoughts. Not my will, but his will. And I'm going to trust the Lord to keep me strong in the midst of chaos, in the midst of anarchy, in the midst of rebellion. I'm going to be strong in the Lord to keep me in this thing. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understandable is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 40. Wait on the Lord. Get in his presence. Spend more time in his Bible. Get before the Lord in fasting. Push away the plate for a few days. Seek the Lord for strength, the power of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, to stand in the midst of austere conditions. It's real this time, folks, and we got to be ready to stand in the midst of this thing. Not bowing the knee, fully clad, armor clad in the armor of God, taking whatever comes at us, charging with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, fighting on the offensive. I ain't backing off. I ain't backing off, because God will allow us to be strong in Him. In Jesus' name, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. Father God in heaven, we thank You for the word that comes to strengthen us, that comes to encourage us, that comes to build us up, that comes to instruct us. God, we need power, Lord. We need dunamis, dynamite power living inside of us to keep us from failing, oh God, to keep us from sin, to keep us in this race. You said it's a straight and narrow way, and few there be that find it. Lord, we want to find that way because we love You with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, we want to endure to the end, but we need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Lord. We need to be strong in You, God. Endow us with strength. Endow us with Your power. Lord, send Your word to those who are listening and are receiving, Father God. Hearts are receptive to the word. Lord, minister to them, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us the grace, God, that we can stand and not faint. We can run and not be weary, oh God. Renew our strength and renew us tonight, God, as we seek You. We bless You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Only the strong survive.